Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Well, good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist, crusader, patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Fired Up Friday.
Yeah! That's right. Welcome, defenders of Christendom and our heritage. Good morning, one and all.
That's for sure. Wow. And that's appropriate. What you're just listening to, all that sword fighting, that is appropriate for Fired Up Friday because it is fired up everywhere we're looking right now.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, wow. From the skies in Taiwan to our border incident that just happened yesterday in Texas to right. to Congress. I mean, there are fires exploding everywhere.
Sparks are flying,
yep.
For sure.
Yep. And you know, just to start it off, there are 20 Chinese warplanes that were detected around Taiwan since nightfall of yesterday around Taipei.
Oh yeah.
And so here we go. China was waiting for spring to start this attack.
Yeah, and we've also seen a real uptick in warnings from our own government, for whatever that's worth. But now it's water supply and water treatment systems
right.
are under attack, or they expect those will come under attack from the Chinese, you know, with their cyber attacks as one of the measures of this fifth generational warfare, the asymmetric warfare, rather, to create chaos and dissent among the populace so that our government would not only have command and control taken out from under them with cyber attacks on, you know, communications, transportation, navigation, all of that, but then also that to force our government to have to contend with an uprising of the people at the same time,
right.
while they're trying to figure out how to bypass all of the other things China's got up their sleeves, essentially to completely take us out of the equation for assisting Taiwan.
Yep.
And of course, that would just start the crumbling and bringing down of the whole system.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is the softening up process.
Yeah, cut us off at the knees while they're attacking Taiwan.
Right.
Yeah.
And just let us just melt down for a few months, and then they hit the U.S.
Yep.
I mean, then the U.S. becomes the next objective, you know, after Taiwan.
Well, exactly. Especially with all of these global illegal aliens all deciding that they're all going to start protesting everywhere they've invaded. And, you know, this happened in Ireland in January.
Yes.
It happened in France last month. Now they're protesting here in various different cities in America.
Yes.
And they're storming our border on Texas, where it's described here. You can hear in the background that they're describing chaos and riots erupt as hundreds of illegal migrants, they're not migrants. This is an illegal invasion.
Yes.
This is a flat-out invasion that's being paid for by the United Nations and facilitated by NGOs.
Right.
And this is in El Paso. They've reached their breaking point with the Texas National Guard returning them to Mexico. And reports indicate that the Texas National Guard was overwhelmed by these invaders rioting to cross the Texas border.
Yeah.
And Mexico is saying, you know, basically saying, you know, starting to threaten the United States, saying we're not going to take these people back.
Right. Now, what we saw in this video of the National Guard being completely overwhelmed and being overran by invaders, pulling and tugging and ripping down this triple standard concertina wire.
Yep.
To remove the barriers, rush past the National Guardsmen. Now, that is a major security situation because how easily they could have gotten their hands on the weapons yep. of these soldiers. But then, fortunately, they rushed another big wall. This is precisely the same actions that we've seen at the border in the Czech Republic, in Poland, in Hungary, and other European nations who refused to take in this wave of locusts
yes,
into their
right.
countries.
Right.
And so they've been contending this for with this for quite a while. But this is new to America because they can't just come up this landmass
right.
like Europe. They have to cross a couple of big oceans. Well, they're doing it. And they're doing this, like you said, with the help of the United Nations, non-government organizations, much of this funded by us, the
yes.
United States.
Yep, that's right.
And so what they need to do now at this point down there in Texas is do what the Czechs, the Polish, and the Hungarians did. And they got water cannons at
yep.
those points of entry
yeah.
where their troops were being overrun. This is in the face of armed troops overrunning.
I'm sorry, but I think it needs, we need to, that is declaration of war that you need to use your military on. That's all that there is to it.
That is, if there was ever a time when lethal force is
yep.
the appropriate response.
That's right.
Almost all of these are military age males.
Exactly.
They are not following orders. They are rushing armed soldiers.
They have no right to come here. It is not their God-given right to come here.
Right.
And so them acting like you're standing in our way of what we're entitled to,
yeah.
they need a very, very curt smackdown.
Right.
And so, you know, to me, that's called, hey, we're defending our border. We're using our military. And if you guys want to charge and try to dodge bullets, go for it.
Now, if any of you in the listening audience are in the National Guard operating on the border, or if you have a family member, first, not my brother's uncle's former roommate has a buddy that used to be in the National Guard. I mean, do you have a son, daughter, husband who's down there right now that can explain to us what rules of engagement have been issued to our soldiers that
right.
are supposedly defending the border? So now they didn't get past the big iron steel fence there. They rushed past the soldiers through layers of barricades. So the fence stopped them, but for now.
Right. For a few minutes.
Right.
Right. Until the next wave of 100,000 comes, you know, starts coming up. And, you know, like we've already described, these are violent criminals.
Yeah.
By and large, violent criminals, if not the most violent criminals from all of these different countries.
That certainly got me fired up seeing that video coverage of our own troops, our own National Guard
yep.
being overran by migrants, just like what we've seen in Europe over and over.
That's right.
And there are forces behind it.
Yep.
There are very powerful and well-funded forces that are facilitating this.
Right. And let's just get it clear right now. For anybody out there that still thinks that these are migrants, you need to understand that migrants have an entirely different attitude
yes, they
than
do.
Invaders.
Yep.
These people that are rushing borders, that are rushing guards, those people are invaders. That is an invader mentality.
Yes, it is.
Where you charge and you blast through regardless, because your basic orders are to get through that border.
Right.
A migrant does not think like that at all.
No, these people that are overrunning the cities that they're busing and flying into all of our major cities, these people are not working in orchards. They're not picking food.
Exactly.
They're not working in...
They're not even looking for jobs.
No. And they're demanding, Americans' homes.
Yes. Yep.
And with the help of now more mayors asking people to take in these illegals.
Right.
And undocumented migrants. Baloney.
Yep. Absolute garbage.
So,
in fact, well, we've got so much to cover. We better get to the word of the day first,
yeah,
because
quite fired
otherwise,
up.
Otherwise it's going to be, oh boy, difficult.
Yes. We're going to do our best to get through it though.
That's
all right.
Right.
So now is the time of the show. We want to get to the word of the day. Remarkable how every day the word of the day is it's applicable to
well,
look around. It's like right
yeah.
out of our head. news headlines.
Now, this one has an interesting and a different twist than we've been used to. And so this is a random turning for Fired Up Friday.
Yeah!
That comes to us from 1 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through... I could have shortened it up, but I can't because the whole story will cut out stuff.
Yeah.
So it's verses 1 through 21.
Saul.
And it reads, under the title, The Ark Returned to Israel.
Oh, yeah.
King now, David. The Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. So they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then they said, what is the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors with 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you, on your lords. Therefore, you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats that ravaged the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods, and from your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go, that they might depart? Now therefore, make a new cart. Take 2 milk cows which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart, and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side. Then send it away and let it go. And watch, if it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it has not in his hand that struck us, it happened to us by chance. Then the men did so. They took 2 milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the gold rats and the images of their tumors. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Then the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there, so they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord. So when the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as trespass offering to the Lord, one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Ekron. And the golden rats, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the 5 lords, both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel, on which they set the ark of the Lord, which stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter.
Wow.
And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God, and to whom shall it go up from us? So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. And that's the end. And so,
yeah, this is way, I was thinking of King David. This is way before that.
Yeah. And what is, there's so many fascinating things with this story. But what's particularly interesting to me is that the Lord struck the people with a great slaughter. And why did that happen? He specifically had those cows take the ark directly to them, right?
Right.
Well, in the Bible notes here, it says, though they are joyful at the return of the ark, they still look at it as a magical rather than as a holy presence of God.
Oh.
This verse contains an obscure Hebrew construction, but the most likely understanding is that 70 men, then 50,000 were stricken, perhaps 70 in Beth Shemesh, followed by thousands in the surrounding territory. But this is a case where you understand the fear of the Lord.
Right.
Where you're, this is not just, oh, look, he brought us a present. Let's open right. it and see what's in it. No, this is, that's exactly correct. It's not just a thing. It is the holy presence of God.
Yeah, like it's a lucky charm or something.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, I sometimes, it kind of makes me cringe when I hear of people, oh, Jesus is my friend.
Right.
He's a holy God. And yep. a righteous God, and judgment is coming. And I think that I would let Jesus call me his friend. I would let him do that. But I wouldn't be presumptuous to say, you're my friend. You're my God.
Right.
Let him call me his friend. That's fine. All right.
Right.
But I think that we've lost, I think the modern church has lost
some of that reverence.
The reverence for the holiness of
right.
him.
And well, yeah, and that is truly a scary thing to actually sit there and put some honest thought into that, what it would be like to actually be present before the Holy Lord, you know, because how many times throughout Old Testament were people approaching, like, you know, Mount Sinai, and he would stop those people and say, take off your shoes. You are standing on holy ground, and be careful lest you be smitten.
Ones that were allowed to go that far. The right. rest of them were like, you can't even touch the base of the mountain. You or none of your animals.
Yep.
You will die.
Yep.
And that's pretty powerful. I think that we really should be conscious to try to return to that fear of him.
Yes.
For not being afraid. He's got such good things in store for us. But I mean, to not be irreverent about it.
And to not think that he's just your easy go along buddy, you know, especially right. with this thing coming up with the eclipse on the 8th, followed by such an important Passover, and so as we're approaching this eclipse, where, you know, where it happened in Nineveh, that they were given the warning, repent or you're going to get stomped into the dirt.
Yeah.
We better not underestimate the severity of God's judgment.
Right.
Should people decide, meh, it's not a big deal. I don't have to repent. I'm fine. I'm a Christian. I urge people to understand and take reverence with this story alone.
Yeah.
Saying this is the holy God reaching down to give us a fair warning.
Oh, and the sins of this nation are so deserving. Of that.
Yep.
That, repentance, prayer for repentance for our nation. And look at the prophets who did. I mean, they were right with the Lord.
Right.
But they were dropping on their faces, throwing, you know, putting on sackcloth and ashes.
Right.
Over the sins of their nation, crying out and asking for forgiveness and repentance from the Lord.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that's where we should be. I think it's a very serious time. And we've said going into this, 2024 is going to be, just be prepared to be astounded.
That's right.
At the things that we're going to see develop. And right now it's kind of hard to think like that because everything's still good. You can run to the store and you can still call right. anybody you want and right. the internet works and everything. But what, I mean, so quickly and so instantaneously, the whole world can change. And permanently
right.
and catastrophically. So, well, yeah, be close to him.
And next week, you and I have been talking about holding a repent event so that we're having people start the mental process of honest, true, wholehearted repentance before this event even happens, before yeah. the solar eclipse you know, we don't have to be forced. We get it. We understand the reverence of a holy God who
right.
is sending us a warning. And so, yeah, we're going to start the repent event next week on this show. And we're going to be covering, well, you know, how our heart needs to be. And starting next week, the week of March 25th going forward, we're just going to be helping everyone prepare their hearts and get it straight. We do not want to be on the receiving end of God's judgment, no right. matter what happens. And so we just invite everyone to be with us, especially next week in the beginning of the repent event.
Yeah. Yeah, good. All right. And we'll try to put together a little Seder, too. You can do that with the privacy of your home, or you can do that as a group.
Yep.
But yeah, that's really cool. Bring back the Passover. That's scriptural.
That's right. Yep.
Easter is not scriptural. It was made up by the Roman Catholic Church, you know, and
and pagan based.
Right, right, and you know, go back to people. Want, well, let's hope with the how. Well, this is we want to do it how the early church did. Well, you want to return to how the early church did. They kept the Sabbath. They
kept Passover.
They kept the Passover. Yep. And, you know, they didn't do sacrifices and all that stuff at the temple after the temple was torn down. That was, you know, clearly a Jewish thing. The Gentile was, a different mission. But the feasts are still his and timeless.
That's right.
Yeah. For all, we're going to do it in the millennium.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
In fact, for eternity.
Yes. Once he comes back in the new millennium, it says it right there that he's going to keep his Sabbaths and the Passover and have every nation in the whole world show up for Passover. And if they don't, if their leaders don't show up to celebrate the Passover, they will get no rain.
They're
is
toast.
What it says.
Yep. Toasty and crunchy. Right. All right. Well, we better take a break. Running up against the clock. And we do have a couple of sound bites we're going to try to get to as much as we can in segment two. So great discussion, though. Really good.
Oh,
and
yes,
this was 1 Samuel.
1 Samuel chapter 6, all of it, verses 1 through 21.
Okay. There's your daily reading right there.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, stick around. This segment brought to you by, once again, JesusAppears.com, helping you to get rapture ready. Ready for the return of our King. It's imminent, and you can learn more at JesusAppears.com. We'll be back with a short segment two right after this.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and 6-hour pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
How do communists gain control of non-communist governments? Let's take a look. By military occupation. By expelling non-communist officials. By the army appointing puppet officials. By obtaining military and police powers. Controlling the legislative procedures. By propaganda creating political and economic unrest. Controlling the courts. Terrorizing political and economic opponents by obtaining government positions and secrets.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of the morning commute. I want to thank all of you guys for supporting us with your prayers and with your financial support. If you want to support us, keep us going. You can go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on the Donate to RFR tab and find the different ways that you can support us. And we're looking at different ways to add more options there. One of our listeners gave us a pretty good review of Stripe. So we're going to look into Stripe. I think I had them confused with Square, which is tied into some leftist group that we don't want to do business with. But Stripe is looks promising. So another non-PayPal option. So, well, Lady Liberty, segment two.
That's right, everyone. Welcome back to Fired Up Friday,
yeah!
Where we are truly fired up and have every reason to be.
Yeah.
I just have to say, yesterday watching and listening to the hearing for the Hunter Biden hearing in Congress, yes, to which Hunter Biden didn't even show up.
Right.
And, you know, I have to say that Tony Bobulinski is I like the guy.
Yeah.
I like him. He opened up with, should I allow Hunter to give his opening statement first? Of which, of course, Comer said, no, Hunter Biden is not here.
Again,
right? And so, yeah, that's criminal, the fact that he's not there. He should be put in jail for that alone. And so here we've got a couple clips covering exactly what went down yesterday. And starting here with Representative Jason Smith asking Tony Bobulinski about, you know, did the Biden family actually make any money from China? Listen to what he had to say.
Official Patrick Ho. Mr. Bobulinski, do you know whether the Biden family made any money from China?
They did. Millions of dollars. I think approximately $8 to $9 million.
The Biden family has made millions of dollars from China, correct?
Correct.
And you said at least $9 million?
Yeah, I think it's actually over $10 million, but I'll leave those details up to you guys.
Oh, that's good. That's good evidence. I wonder if the U.S. Marshals are going to arrest him for leaking sensitive information.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Quick, get him. You know, send in the Marshals and arrest him before he leaves D.C., right?
Right.
Good grief. Well, so then we've got, you know, we've got the claim. He's saying, yes, probably well over $10 million, but I'll let you guys figure out the details, because they have those details. They have all the records. They've got bank statements. They've got exact figures. And the next clip here, you'll listen to Representative Byron Donalds, who brings the receipts and shows that Biden did take money from CCP-linked companies. Listen to what he had to say.
Into Sarah Jones Biden's account on the same day she withdrew it from Lionhall. I want to submit
without
that.
Without objection to order.
Last document. On September 3rd, 2007, from Sarah Biden's own personal account, there is a check that is written to Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the President of the United States today, for $40,000, signed loan repayment. A loan repayment, by the way, that Joe Biden's own personal accountant, Mr. Eric Schwerin, has no record for. I want to submit that for the record, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, so ordered.
To the members of the committee, it is clear that the source of this money came from CEFC. And at CEFC is a company that is directly linked to the CCP and actually the chairman of the CCP, the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Chairman Xi Jinping. With that, I yield.
Well, it's about time that this type of evidence actually started making its way into Congress, onto the record.
Absolutely.
You know, while he's been committing all of these crimes, it's one of those things that, you know, everybody knows, but They're you know, have been trying to block the evidence and witnesses and everything else. Well, at the same time, President Trump, who's not committed crimes, they're trying to generate crimes or harm him financially.
That's
or,
right.
You know, in every way possible. It's about keeping President Trump from getting back in the Oval Office at all costs.
Right.
And including these... What are these attorneys, activists, basically, communist yep. activist attorneys.
And judges.
Prosecutors, yep. judges. And, you know, Ramaswamy keyed in on something that actually you had keyed in on and have used in the past.
That's right.
To fight back.
Yep.
And
that's the Eighth Amendment.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was super excited to see him bringing the Eighth Amendment to the forefront here in what is going on with Arthur Engoron, the New York judge that is describing that Trump is going to have to come up with $355 million plus interest for a bond And so listen, first of all, before we even get to the Eighth Amendment thing, listen to what Trump had to say about that. He said, even though I did nothing wrong, a radical left New York judge, a true Trump hater, Arthur Engoron, are we allowed to speak about his unconstitutional gag order, picked a number out of thin air, $355 million plus interest, which is reminiscent of John Lovitz the Liar on SNL when it was good, and wants me to bond it, which is not possible for bonding companies to do in such a high amount before I can even appeal. That right. is crazy. If I sold assets and then won the appeal, the assets would be forever gone. Also, putting up money before an appeal is very expensive. When I win the appeal, all of that money is gone and I would have done nothing wrong. The crooked judge, who has already been overturned four times on this case, yep. which is a record, fully understands this. He gave us a demand which he knows is impossible to do. This witch hunt between a bad judge and a corrupt and racist attorney general is horrible for New York. Businesses are fleeing while violent crime flourishes. Yep. Election interference with an exclamation mark.
That's right.
And so that's what is going on with that. And it says here that the AG, Letitia James, has taken an initial step toward laying the groundwork for a possible seizure of President Trump's assets in New York's Westchester County as part of the total $464 million judgment in Trump's civil fraud trial.
Unbelievable.
And so listen to what Vivek Ramaswamy has to say about the Eighth Amendment in regard to this case.
The Letitia James crusade against Donald Trump is disgusting and is a threat to every American. When you have prosecutors who are elected to office on a promise of going after one particular individual as she campaigned on, then go on to keep a campaign promise using the legal system to do it, it's unjust. And this particular case reveals how ugly that is. In this case, you're talking about a crime for which there was literally no identifiable victim. The people who did business with Donald Trump weren't individual consumers. They were sophisticated financial institutions who made money from their dealings. And yet Letitia James is using a consumer protection statute to literally make up numbers and say, hey, you have hundreds of millions of dollars in penalties that you owe. You have bond to post by a particular date of an unreasonable magnitude that even no billionaire is regularly able to meet. And to say, if you don't do it, I'm going to start seizing your property. It's disgusting, and it is a threat to not only private property, but threat to the justice system and to the rights of every American. But the good news is there is an argument to push back against this in short order. And that's the Eighth Amendment. The Eighth Amendment prevents the imposition of excessive bail or excessive fines. And if there's ever an example that meets that to a T, it's the bond that's been demanded of Donald Trump in this disgusting New York Letitia James-led prosecution. This is an opportunity for the Supreme Court to step in and say, no, we're not going to stand for this kind of lawfare. Whether it's against Donald Trump or a Democrat, it's wrong. We don't want to empower prosecutors to be able to use bond and bail or bonds as a way of effectively achieving a goal that they couldn't achieve through the front door, which is bankrupting an opponent, even stopping them from being able to appeal those decisions. That's un-American. It needs to end now, not just for the protection of Donald Trump, but for the protection of every American. And in this disaster, I at least see a silver lining of some hope that that's exactly what we'll get from the Supreme Court. It's not just the current justices, not even the conservative ones, that would necessarily agree with this principle. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a staunch defender of this part of the Eighth Amendment as well. She's no longer with us, but the other justices are. And I hope this can be another 9-0 rebuke of the kind of lawfare that we're seeing against Donald Trump and indirectly against every American in this country today. And I think it could be the most important Eighth Amendment case of the 21st century. I hope they bring it, and I hope they succeed.
And so let me just go ahead and read this Eighth Amendment that could completely throw this whole case out of the water.
Yeah.
It says here, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. And so clearly they've way
crossed
gone
the
out
line.
Of gone out of bounds. I mean, yep. So far beyond it's in la la land. And so, you know, that has to be stopped. And this was the same thing that I used in our property rights fights because what they were doing was unconstitutional in the fact that admin law is not even allowed in the Constitution.
Right.
And yet it's these excessive fines that admin law uses against the people that are their teeth. And so we would say, right, you have no right, first of all, to even impose any sanctions upon me because you don't operate legally to begin with.
Yeah.
And even if you did operate legally, these excessive fines are illegal.
Yeah, they're totally unconstitutional, violation of the Eighth Amendment, where somebody puts a pond on their property and the EPA comes in and wants to charge you $35,000 a day
yeah, until you rectify it. Well, and that right there, that was one of my contributions to an improved state constitution for Liberty State.
Yes.
When you and I were on the were leading the Constitution Drafting Board, and that came from direct experience, where I said we have got to define excessive fines,
yeah,
for the Eighth Amendment, to add to that and make that that amount be absolutely no more than 0.5% of someone's annual income.
Right.
And so
that's the total amount of the fine.
Yep. They can't exceed that no matter what.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, well, there's the strategy, but we are out of time. So you guys have just a blessed, safe weekend and spend some time with the Lord and in the Word. And we'll talk to you on the other side. Just be safe and be vigilant. And join us 7 a.m. Pacific time, Monday morning, right here.
That's right. You all have a fantastic Fired Up Friday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.